It is August 29th, 2022. This is Atlanta United FC Weekly, a Home Before Dark broadcast.
Oh, broadcast. You switched it up. That's a movie.
I did. I think that's just because it's the second time today that I've touted having a broadcast journalism degree and not using it at all in my daily life.
Monday night.
Not every Monday night. I'm back, guys. I'm back after a week off. I am Tim Herb. As always, I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Mr. Kevin Bradley, over on the other side of the screen. If you guys are watching live on YouTube, if you are, make sure that you hit the subscribe button, notification bell icon, hit the like button, smash the like. I don't know if that's still... We need to start chopping these up in one-minute YouTube shorts, start playing the algorithm.
I can't even get the audio up from a whole episode, much less chopping up an episode, Tim. I still owe everybody the audio from last week or 2 weeks ago episode when Kendrick had to fill in, which, speaking of which, Kendrick and Joe already in the trap. Shout out to you guys, Kendrick, who... lovingly stepped in for me whenever I had a power failure during the last recording. So
that is what we call a trap all-star.
For sure.
That is a trap all-star. Hey, sure. I know you're sipping on bourbon tonight. What do you got? Michter's?
Atlanta win, so Atlanta bourbon. I did some
Old Fourth. Nice. So I have, I don't know if you've had this.
No.
Coke
is
Dream.
Is it just as terrible as that Cherry Blossom LaCroix?
Yeah, probably actually worse. I just had it in my... It's the only thing that I had in a can in my fridge to crack open during the intro, so I had to do it. It's Coke Dream World, and it's like if somebody just dropped a handful of Skittles into a Coke Zero. Just let it flavor it. Yeah, it's...
That's like very, a Key Lime LaCroix.
Those are good, dude.
That's... The Key Lime LaCroix is just Skittles in LaCroix form.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of the LaCroix flavors that, like, there was a meme that was going around. It was like, sat on the same truck as Skittles is the name of the flavor.
it's like whenever you leave peppermint in your Christmas candy and it just ruins everything.
Or a banana. Like, you leave a banana with any of your other fruit or leave it in the fridge.
How would you say when you leave a banana in your Christmas candy? I'm like, that never happened in my childhood.
No, dude, I never got a banana. What in the trap? Or tweet at us. On the tweeters at Home Before Dark, that's B, the number four. What is the worst thing that you ever got? We're getting close to Halloween, right? We're a little over 2 months away, but what is the worst thing you ever got as a kid, as an adult, as a teenager, whatever, in your Halloween candy bag?
Potatoes.
You got potatoes?
No, I'm joking.
Oh, boy. I was going to say, that's terrible. The only thing I could think of is in Enterprise, Alabama. Shout out Southeast Alabama for no reason other than, family from there now. But
toothpaste. Those are the worst kind of people.
There was a lady around the block from us for the 4 years that we were there, gave out little brown bags of probably popped the night before popcorn. She's not doing it on demand. There are a lot of kids in that neighborhood. So popcorn doesn't stay. Microwave popcorn does not stay after it sits on the counter.
I don't know though, man. I got some movie theater popcorn from 2 weeks ago that I'm still eating.
That's gross. That's real gross. I remember as a kid, like, if we didn't eat all the popcorn on the counter, like, it was left out on the counter overnight or something like that, and I came back to eat it the next morning, I was like, this is so bad.
Film. Yeah, you can just keep, like, tonguing at it for the rest of the day whenever it's stuck
in your
teeth.
It just doesn't crunch. It doesn't dissipate. Peanut. Yeah, it is a packing peanut at that point, yeah. What is the worst thing? Joe Johnstone, Elliot Beaven, Nathan Explosion, Kendrick Brock. What is Joe already said toothpaste. That's terrible. Yeah.
Also,
unless it was mentioned.
Joe Johnstone coming in hot, giving shit about us not meeting up yesterday. Tim, what time did we get to our seats?
After kick, right?
Right after kick. Like, there was no time for a meetup. There was no such thing. Also, there were no such plans. It was, if you make it in time, let me know. Okay, well, we didn't make it in time. Didn't let you know. Sorry.
You can thank the train that was going through the Ruby lot that had us take a 20-minute detour to get to the freaking stadium. But it's good to know that there is another entrance to the Ruby lot that we could start taking. You know, in 3 years when I go to a game again. Thank you again. Kevin took me to Mercedes-Benz Stadium yesterday for the first time since 2019. And I have to say, it was weird, but it was fantastic.
Well, at least it was one of the few games we've won this season. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just that. So I guess we can go ahead and get into it. But the fact that we came back not once, but twice, and didn't just get a point out of the match and got a full 3 points out of it, I think speaks volumes and hopefully is that turning point that everybody's been waiting for. Because I'm so sick of every week being like, that was the best we've played all year. I know we didn't get 3 points from it, or I know we lost, but that was the best we've looked all year. But now it's like that second half, and honestly, in the first half, we had a lot of good chances in the first half, but we looked good yesterday. Granted, we were playing a pretty bad team, but
the worst team, statistically speaking.
God, okay. Okay, yeah.
All the goals were headers. That was my talking point for tonight. Elliot Beavins already jumped on it. But yeah, all the goals, yes, they were scored on headers. All of Atlanta's goals, anyway.
Finally, to get on the other end of it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But also give that up, right? Did we give up one header yesterday?
Yeah, yeah. Their second goal was off of a header. Yeah, man. I mean, it was a fun match to go to for sure. The first half was a bit of a snoozer. Overall, I think Sadich was the only real breath of life that the team had offensively speaking.
Saying a lot, because he's supposed to just be like a pace setter in the midfield. I feel like he's not really the one pushing the pace and attacking. He's more like trying to stabilize that midfield the best he can.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, the fact that we couldn't get on the end of one in that first half, was a little disheartening. I mean, you would even say Araújo's month of August was pretty rough, in my opinion. You know, I think that for whatever reason, just his performance has been lacking over the past couple of weeks. And I don't know if it's the blonde hair, maybe it's throwing off his inner ear or equilibrium or what it is, but,
the chemicals.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But yeah, so the first half, bit of a snoozer there, but still not seeing Joseph start. What do you read into that, considering the effect that he had coming into the second half?
My hope is what it produced. And what I mean by that is I hope it was like a means to get him motivated to really like recapture that starting spot. Because, you know, you and I talked a good bit yesterday, and we could probably get into it a lot, chop it up with like roster moves and that sort of thing. Because, you know, we kind of just fly off the cuff and start talking about stuff not related to stats and all that. But like, I look at yesterday, we were talking about the fact that, you know, and I'll just go ahead and throw it out there. You don't want us to hitch our wagon to Ronaldo Cisneros, because he is an opportunistic striker, but has had a lot of maybe not lucky, but fortunate bounces roll his way, or just like scrappy goals in his favor. And you look at that and the half that he had, you're right. Like, I looked at yesterday, the performance that he was putting in with what you were saying about, I don't know what he does really well. I don't know like what stamp he really puts on the game. And I was like, you're right, because it's really just this tenacity. And that's
he's a situational striker at best. His one shot on goal comes off of a situation that arises because Caleb Wiley has a less than great first touch that just happens to fall down in front of him, and he takes a shot on goal that just glances right of the right post. But it's not like there wasn't any sort of consistent build up in play where Cisneros is giving you what you're hoping to see out of a starting striker, in my opinion. And I don't think we've really seen anything like that out of him throughout his tenure as a starting striker in this lineup.
Yeah, he's streaky in a way. But the weird thing is his streaks are really like, again, just like scrappy, rebound, like they're what we used to refer to playing FIFA in college as clusterfuck goals or cluster cuss goals.
Yeah.
That's a lot of what, like, pinging around the box or like just getting on the end of like an odd angle and like whipping that in. But I mean, Brittany says, wow, that's how y'all really feel. I mean, but she agrees.
Anybody in the trap, tell me what is the standout metric or the standout factor for keeping Cisneros as your starting striker? What is it that he brings to the table that you think makes him your starting striker going forward into next season? Like, because I just don't know what it is.
I don't know either, but the thing I will say is he's young.
Yeah.
He's got, I don't think he, in a league where you have three designated players, in a league that really relies on you outscoring your opponent as opposed to shutting your opponent down, because we don't have the salary cap to have great defenses and great offenses on the same team. I think that's just the reality of the matter, is like you can't waste your, especially if you play a single striker system, you can't have that single striker not be a DP and not be a crazy impact player and be like a power vacuum or like whatever, whenever he's or magnet or whatever, whenever he's on the field. That said, I think that, I don't know that you say, I know this is a different topic. You were asking about Joseph moving forward, but like, I think that he's a guy you could look at bringing off the bench moving forward and developing because he's still young. But
he's
Joseph,
a utility striker, right? Like he's a utility player. I think he certainly has a role to play. But to your point, in a league that you really need at least one of those DP positions to be filled by that striker, I don't know that I'm willing to pay DP money to Cisneros. I'm just not.
No.
I don't think you can build an offense around Cisneros. You know, I don't think that there's. I don't dislike the guy, but he's not bringing enough of what you expect to see out of this lineup from your other marquee players like Araujo and Almada and these other guys. You know, I'm just not seeing it out of him on any sort of, you know, his hat trick. He's got a hat trick game and he's got a handful of goals, but none of them are consistently building up to chance creation or distribution in any meaningful way.
No, I agree with you. And as it goes back to Joseph, I really hope that if what we saw yesterday, granted, like Stephen Perales in the trap said, DC United's defense was awful, all caps, awful. It might have been a good confidence boost for him, but also you looked at the way that it, like the game, the paradigm just completely shifted once he came in. I mean, hopefully that is like the turning point. I don't know, dude. Like, I don't know if it's fitness, if it's just, and not even fitness, but like his, I guess it would fall into that same bucket, but his ability to go a full 90 on his knees, not like his lungs. Like, I think,
whoa,
we're not wanting to risk him. Oh God.
Inappropriate.
Yeah. No kidding. I don't know.
That's how you win the locker room. Your ability to go a full 90 on your knees.
Ooh, okay. I'm just glad you're here for that sort of stuff, man. Like, you catch that shit and it's just keep me on my toes.
Oh, man.
Keep me on my toes. No, but I mean, I hope it's motivation, and I hope he like got back into that starting picture, because when you got Mama on the field, like we did yesterday during a good chunk of the second half of the game, completely shifted because of that. And I don't want to steal it from you, but like you were saying, they just look so much more comfortable out there together.
It lit a fire, man. Like, it was like all of a sudden you're hitting the snooze button for the entire first half, and then Joseph comes on and it's like it's a completely different team. Like, everybody plays different whenever he's out there on the field. You know, it's just – and, of course, the first goal is a big – it's a big motivator, and it gets gets the people going. But, I mean, it's – there's something to be said about just the work rate that everybody seems to produce. And I think that that's really the biggest argument for Joseph staying, is just what he manages to – how he manages to elevate everybody else around him. And then as a result, I feel like he thrives in that situation that much more as well, right? Like he's getting into those tight spaces. He's getting on the end of balls. He's creating goals. You know, I feel like it was great to see him in the lineup for all of those reasons yesterday. Again, goes back to the discussion of like, if Pineda doesn't see him as a starting striker week in and week out, do you keep paying him DP money? I don't know that you do. And I don't think that we can buy him down unless he takes a huge salary reduction, but that's to be, I guess, determined in the offseason.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it ultimately comes down to what the, if you're buying into a manager and backing him fully, like you have to back him fully. And if he doesn't see Joseph as that talisman for the team, if he doesn't see him as that talisman as a team in a league with only three designated players, I don't know why you would continue to pay him that kind of money and have him take up that spot. Because, you know, I started thinking about it. I didn't really give it much thought until you just said it, but I've always been of the mind, like, if you're not scoring goals as a lone striker, you probably shouldn't be in there occupying a spot in the 11. But
if you're motivating others to score those goals, that's huge, dude.
Yeah. And if you're somehow creating that like vacuum in the midfield, or not in the midfield, in the box to free other people up, maybe that is worth it. Because you saw yesterday, I mean, you give him any space, granted they give him a lot of space on that cross from Brooks Lennon, but he's going to get up, he's going to put the ball in the back of the net. Like he's going to go for it too.
That's the thing, is like the second chance he has on goal that Arruju gives him, the opportunity that Ochoa comes out, and I forget who the defender was, they both closed it down, but Joseph takes a one touch on goal in that moment that just glances off of the defender, but otherwise is going in on frame. Like, other players aren't taking that shot in that moment, I don't think, consistently in this lineup. They're taking an extra touch. They're trying to lay it off or whatever. Like, and I think that there's something to be said about the rest of the team, that they know that if they distribute to Joseph, he's going to take chances. And that's been a big issue that I feel like the lineup has had year over year, is like, just take the shot. Like, yes, distribute to where you have an open shot on goal, but once it's been created, capitalize on it. And it's like, you have players now in the lineup that are starting to feed on that. And, you know, like Almada at the top of the 18, Sadich a couple of times yesterday. We talked about Arruju, who's consistently tried to do so as well. But there's something about Joseph being that vacuum that pulls defenders, that opens up other lanes, and that, again, Cisneros just isn't that guy. He's just not that guy, you know?
Yeah. I wish we had that sound clip.
Not that guy.
And I pinned Kendrick Brock's comment from the trap saying Joseph has the same amount of goals as Cisneros in two less games and a lot less minutes, most likely. So,
yeah.
It's definitely odd to think about moving on. But, yeah, I had not given much thought to that motivating factor of just being able to light a fire under the rest of the team, but also having the chemistry with the other guys.
Well, and that comes to Kendrick's second point, which is that he's got more assists. I think that's the other thing, is that, again, going back to like, what does Cisneros give you? He's not scoring goals. He's not, you know, he's not leading the team in assists. He's not this intimidating guy that's going to capitalize on set pieces with additional height or something like that. He's not the fastest guy on the team. Like I said, I just don't know what that – he's a utility player. I mean, it's not to say anything against him, but in a team and in a league that you've got to really be opportunistic on your offensive side of the ball, I don't know that Cisneros gives you that going forward. And I don't know that Joseph does either, but I don't know what the alternative is right now. So if a new president or new manager, because I think Pineda's gonna stay, obviously, but you know, maybe there is another opportunity in the offseason to bring somebody in, and Joseph can still be that player that comes in as a true super sub. But there's a lot of questions to be answered, but at least like I said, Joseph coming in was an evident change in the demeanor of the rest of the team around him whenever he came in yesterday.
Yeah. And honestly, I'll take what I can get at this point during the season, just given everything that we've been through. And I think your assessment of Cisneros kind of speaks volumes about where we are as a franchise this year with injuries and with everything going on, that he's a utility guy that's starting striker for an MLS squad. So, so I don't know if you want to get into other topics, guy that we haven't seen a ton of yet, Mosquera, or as Peral said, Mosquera. He said he's looking dangerous on the left. I wonder if he could do the same against Union. I don't even want to think about. I guess we'll have to talk about the Philadelphia Union game
That's
later.
That's going to be a drubbing, dude. Short rest on the road against the top team in the East is going to be a drubbing. Who's just put up another sixer, you were saying, this past weekend?
Yeah, I think they're 12-0 in their last two matches.
Yeah, it's going to be a drubbing. I can see that easily being a 3-4 goal loss. I mean, it'll be brutal. But yeah, Mosquera, I think he's been good whenever he's come on. But at the same time, like, for me with him, is it's like I don't know what his potential ceiling is versus Caleb's potential trajectory on that left side. You know, I still think that so far Caleb Wiley's been so promising on that left side, particularly with Gutman backing him up over there, that Mosquera, I don't know that he's going to do something to drastically offset that. I mean, he's certainly been confident on the ball and he hasn't been a liability, but whether or not we're talking about lineup changes or that impactful, I don't know that I've necessarily seen that per se personally.
Yeah. It's tough, right? I don't know. I love the dynamic that he brings, but I don't want to stunt Caleb Wiley's growth for that reason. So, I mean, he is a permanent signing, right? So, I mean, it's, you got to find room for him. I don't know. Can he play on the right side, or is he only a left-sided player, Mosquera?
No clue.
Well, because one thing, and I could bring it to him too, I feel like one thing that infuriated me yesterday, I do love the confidence, but I hate the fact that we tried to give that game away, tried to give away 2 points at the end of yesterday. Jeez. We should have just been playing in the corner and putting our butts to whatever, to the field. Like, it's, I don't understand why you don't just kill the fucking game.
Yeah.
It was, it almost came down to a set, like we were close to a set piece ruining us getting a victory at home, clawing back from 1-0, 2-1. And it's just because guys were glory hunting, and I get it. Like, but you're up a goal, you have 5 minutes left, kill the match, just kill it.
Yep.
It's just, it's infuriating. That's like some high school shit. I feel like, they didn't like Brittany said, they didn't go in a corner. I feel like it was,
there were several opportunities that could have happened.
Of all people, Moreno took it, and he was being decisive and direct instead of, like, he could have just dribbled it into the corner. Instead, he cut in, because they get in their minds like, oh, well, we've put three on him this half. You know, we can you could bring it back. So, I don't know, man. It was very frustrating, but hopefully they got a talking to about that. I would hope, anyway. You would think so?
Yeah. So one of the topics of discussion we haven't had in recent weeks is the state of the back line, I feel like, because we have seen some big swings over the past couple of months. Now, Parada, who's got 2 goals in 4 games or something like that, 3 games?
No, I think he has 3 goals.
You have,
right?
3 now? Sorry. I thought he had just gotten 2. But anyway – you know,
he has three goals in his 10 matches for Atlanta United.
Yeah. So you've got Parada, who's capitalizing on both sides of the ball, which is crazy to me that we've got 2 defenders that are consistently challenging the score-making opportunities or abilities of the front line between Parada and what Gutman continues to do over on the left back side of things. It seems like every game, one of the two of them are getting into a position to either score a goal or assist on one time and time again. So, but on the back line side of things, I feel like Atlanta, if you're going to be without Miles Robinson and George Campbell, I think is probably in its best position that it's been all year as far as the roster that you've got back there with Gutman, Parada, and Franco. But what do you think?
I would love for Gutman to not be a center back, not be. I like him so much better going. I mean, he still he adventures forward a good bit, but
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, it seems like we have good players back there, but why are we still giving up so many fucking goals?
Right, right. Well, again, it's because Franco can't mark his man consistently.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have we conceded goals and it's because Franco's lost his man?
Yeah, too many to count.
Yeah.
Too many to count. But, I mean, I guess he scored one yesterday, but Parada, I think Parada has definitely been, he's definitely bolstered the back line, but I think the main question marks to me, or main question mark to me is still Alan Franco.
Yeah.
Because when he shows up end of last season after, I think it was it end of last year? I'm losing track. When he just showed out really well, it might've been after Pineda took over, but it's just taken him so long to get going this year. And I still feel like he hasn't gotten there.
Is it weird to you that he's got the captain's armband?
It is. Somebody mentioned that earlier. I think it might've been Kendrick.
Yeah.
Like,
that seemed really odd to me.
Who else? But you think about it, Brooks Lennon should have gotten the armband over Franco. I don't know who else would have in that lineup.
Yeah. No, you're right. Because Moreno didn't start. Joseph didn't start. Yeah.
No, Almada is too young. Hasn't been with the team long enough.
Same thing with Araujo.
Gutman may. Nah, because this is his real first year playing for us.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Sosa. I mean, Sosa's a shout too, but he's been out of action so much this year. Maybe that's the reasoning, but Goatman. Yeah, I like that. Kendrick. Yeah, same thing. Lennon. Anybody but Rocco. Andrew Schultz. Little Andrew Schultz in the back. I don't know. Any positives really outside of what we talked about that stick out from yesterday moving forward, especially going into Wednesday, going into Philly?
Yeah, I think the big question mark is going to be what, like you said, this defense that is in its best from a lineup standpoint that it could be with the people that you've got out, but that's consistently conceding goals. And I don't know what that leads into against top team in the conference on the road and what that looks like. So offensively, maybe we've got enough firepower to go into a shooting match and maybe we come out on the better end of it, but I wouldn't count on that.
They've only given up 20 goals this entire year.
Yeah.
That is 10 goals better than the next team. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy that they've only given up 20 goals this year. In 28 games, they've played more matches than us. And they've given up less than half as many goals as we have.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that's pretty
nuts. That is depressing to think about.
Yeah.
That is a depressing statistic. And not just that, but they're like the third or second best scoring team in the league. I think they're.
How about the fact that Inter Miami is sitting in six with a minus 10 goal differential right now?
Talk about like a turn of events for that team. Just like turning the corners. Like, I mean, Pozuelo end up getting red carded for that? Did you see that Nigel De Jong kick that he gave?
I did.
I don't think did he end up getting a red card for that?
Mm.
Yeah, he did. Okay, he got a straight red for it. So he's going to see at least, what, like a one-game suspension, if not three? I don't know if that would count as violent conduct. But, I mean, they're definitely a team on the rise. I mean, they lost to Red Bulls this weekend. But, let's look at that playoff picture real quick. So what does that look like? It's Philly in first, Montreal, then NYCFC, then Red Bulls, then Orlando. Look pretty solidly in the playoff picture.
Yeah. I mean, Miami and Columbus are certainly, I mean, they're certainly on the outside or on the cusp of being outside looking in, considering there's only what's crazy is there's a 3-point cushion separating fifth from 12th, basically. Like, there's a lot of stuff that can still shake out in the last, what, 8 games of the season?
Yeah, in the way Toronto is playing since their Italian renaissance, they keep winning recently. So I think they're a team that you have to look out for in that 7th spot, even though they're a handful of points out from there. Because we have what? We have 7 matches left this season. So it's between 8 and 6 matches left for the rest of the East.
Yeah.
So a lot can still happen because you're talking about it's like 18 to 24 points that we're looking at in terms of potential.
The problem is we've got Philadelphia. Like, we've got all of our over half of our remaining games are those teams that are like solidly in playoff contention. We've got 2 games against Philly, 1 against NYCFC, 1 against Orlando, and then 1 against Toronto, who, like you said, is on the rise. So,
the rest of our season looks fucked. I don't think we're gonna make the playoffs after looking at that.
I don't either. It's not looking good, man. It's not looking good at all. Especially because even our Western opponent in Portland, maybe we could pick up a win there. They're kind of having a similar season to us this year, it seems like. But yeah.
That's just tough, man. Like, we dug ourselves too big of a hole this year. Like, I think we talked about it yesterday. And we were thinking, we might have an outside shot at the playoffs. And I was thinking that all day today. And then you just bringing up the rest of the schedule is like, how did I not even go bother to look at what we have waiting for us the rest of the season?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen, man. I think that of those 7 games, at least 4 of them are probably going to be losses.
Oh, yeah, you would think so, right? The 2 Philly games. I think Toronto we probably lose, and then NYCFC. Orlando probably. NYCFC at least is without Castellanos anymore. So
that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So, I don't know,
it's,
man.
It's not good, dude. But at least the season will be over before the holidays, so we don't have to.
Yeah, that's true. Good grief.
It's tough. I don't know what all the answers are right now because there's so many things up in the air. The hardest part is that I see moments of like what could be, right? Like there's games that it's like, man, that was a tough loss because the team did absolutely everything the right way and it just didn't fall your way. But then when that's consistently happening, it's like, I just don't know. It can't all just be unlucky and it can't all just be injuries, right? Like there's something that just isn't working out with either the tactics or the lineup or something. And I don't know what that is because individually you should have all the pieces in the roster right now as it stands to
right.
Be winning games outright week in and week out, at least more than not. And it's like the team throughout all, I mean, they're not even a 500 team this year, you know, like if at least the team is maybe just outside looking in, feel a little bit better, but it's like I said, it's tough, man. And I just don't know how to make heads or tails out of it. Whenever you go through, I mean, what was it? It's been since 2019 since this team has had 2 consecutive wins in a row. Like, what the fuck? I just don't know what.
Let's break it this Wednesday. Let's break it. Unfortunately, Dan's not with us to give us the Dan load. So Well, the only insight I have is I think we're completely screwed against a team that's dropped consecutive 6-0 matches.
Yeah.
Or 6-0 wins. Yeah. That's...
Yeah. Let's just hope that the team can scratch out a draw. And at the very least, let's hope the team makes it out healthy and we don't sustain any injuries along with a loss.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Lord knows we're good at that. I mean, do you think we'll see George Campbell reinserted into the lineup?
I don't know. I haven't.
He was on the bench. He was on the bench yesterday. So
maybe he gets some reps on Wednesday just because of it being a short week. I think somebody else asked the question is, do you see Joseph maybe get a start Wednesday with the short week?
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that, especially coming off scoring a goal. And like you said, I mean, I'm sure Pineda saw the mentality completely change whenever he came in. So hopefully we see that too. It's just tough. I don't know if I don't think we have that squad. We're not that guy to go in on a Wednesday night in Philadelphia to beat the best team in the East.
I like Kendrick's optimism. You know, it's the play to your opponents, right? Like Atlanta could potentially go in and steal one. Like Philly comes in, like we're playing a team that had to scrap to win against the worst team in the East at home. And they're, you know, struggling. They're coming here on a short week. We're clearly topping the East. If Atlanta can come in and maybe assert themselves early, who knows?
Yeah, it's I don't know what the ACC equivalent of it is, but it's like playing Mississippi State on a Thursday night in SEC. It's a trap game, right? It could be an absolute trap game.
It's the Clemson loss to Syracuse, man.
Yeah, it's a trap game. Yeah, it's exactly what it is. Or as Patrick says, regression to the mean. So, I mean, there's potato, potato.
True.
Fancy ass doctor language. And I don't. Did you happen to see this T-shirt that Will Bowron?
I did.
New York Times bestselling author Will Bowron shared with us
the Arby's shirt.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me share.
Pretty incredible.
Yeah. We need I'm calling his bluff. He better actually order these for us.
I like the baseball tee, man.
That's pretty dope. Except for the fact that baseball tees never fit right. They always fit like shit. But for those of you who are listening to the podcast, Will Bowron tagged us. It's a limited edition shirt that says, I'm not afraid of hell. Or I'm not afraid to go to hell. I've eaten at Arby's. And it's got a skull like this. It just looks very like sinister and like kind of 80s power metal.
Like, I was going to say, it looks like album art from
Iron Maiden.
No, what's the band that we listened to in high school that had
you
got
to be more.
About,
I said, you got to be more specific.
No, I was getting there. That had the songs about the orcs. And,
oh, yeah. 3 inches of blood.
That looks like a 3 inches of blood album cover is what that looks like.
You're probably not wrong. It probably is.
I'm pretty sure that their album that was out during
those
years looked exactly like that. Yeah. Go to that Advance and Vanquish album cover. Like the color palette in that is the exact same as that shirt.
Oh, for sure. Kill the orcs. Destroy the orcs. God, what a band. What a time. Wow. What an absolute time to be alive. Going and watching guys sing power metal about, or go play power metal songs about fucking killing orcs. And,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Pretty great.
In a, like a 30, maximum capacity of like 50 people bar. And shout out New Brooklyn Tavern, where dreams are made of.
No kidding.
All right. Well, I don't have a lot to say about the Philly game. I don't know if I want to end the podcast 40 minutes in, but
Unfortunately, it's like the problem right now with this season is it's like, what is there to talk about even? It's like performance on the field, still the same. Organizational structure, still the same. We're not going to keep talking about how maybe Joseph will be here next season or not. That still remains to be seen.
Can't keep up with the next supporters group drama because I don't have the energy for it. I don't know, man. Yeah, yeah. There's not a lot. Kendrick asking who's going to be cut at the end of the season.
You and Dan just talked about this, didn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Like I said, it's always the same. It's always the same shit. Give me your five that you think are going to cut off the top of your head.
Emerson Hyneman. I don't think we can count loanees because those can just be terminated. But Emerson Hyneman. Fuck. Dom Dwyer. But he might be out of contract. Alex DeJohn. I know I'm kind of taking the safe route.
Very much so.
Yeah. Shit, man. I don't know. Yeah, Mikey Ambrose. I don't know. I don't know if I can name five players off the top of my head that will get cut.
Hyneman, Hosetu, Guzan, Martinez, and
Kenwin Jones. Chris McCann.
Oh, boy.
Hosetu's a good call. Yeah. Oliver Shannon. Yeah. Shout out to Oliver Shannon.
Never got the chance. Dealership down the road.
He probably still listens to the podcast.
There's no chance.
He still follows us on Twitter, so hope is still out there. I hope Lagos Kunga is doing well. That's what I hope.
No kidding. How are the twos doing?
Dude, I have no idea. Let's see. Probably dead last. 13th out of 14.
All right. Consistent.
Yeah, but to be fair, they weren't really built to compete. They're more built to be a development team. So, true. I mean, like we're just ahead of New York Red Bulls too, and we know New York Red Bulls too produces hella good MLS players. So,
but that 42, that minus 42 goal differential is not. That is some rough goings right there, my friend.
Yeah, I don't even know who's on our roster right now other than Andrew Carlton's little brother.
That was the beginning of the end, I feel like, for season ticket like incentives. It's like, hey, we're going to give you tickets to Atlanta United 2 games.
Actually, I take that back. He's not even on. I thought Andrew Carlton's little brother was playing for the twos. I guess he's not.
Will Almada leave on a transfer from Elliot Beaven? I think so.
Yeah, I do too.
I think we sell him big money. I don't know that we'll get as much for Araujo that we want, but Almada, I think, has had the performance in his tenure here that he could come and go really quickly.
It's a big enough sample size for European teams to be like, I like him. We could take a flyer on him for like $20 million.
Yeah.
And I legitimately think he will go for more. Like, I mean, is Barco coming back? He's only on loan right now.
It'd be hilarious.
Yeah, it would be pretty hilarious. But yeah, I think that he'll probably, I think somebody in Europe will snap him up. Yeah, we have some pretty decent young guys. I mean, Kendrick letting us know that Andrew Carlton's little brother's in the academy. He's not playing for the twos right now.
Gotcha.
But we got Efren Morales, Justin Garces, who I think maybe still has a outside shot to come in and play keeper for the senior team at some point. I don't really recognize the other names. Is that Mejia, Daniel Mejia, David Mejia?
Conway's still playing with the twos, right?
I think so, yeah. So, I don't know.
Well, I do have one thing that we could talk about at the end, which is everybody, tomorrow is a very special day here for the Home Before Dark family. It is your very own Tim Herb's birthday. So make sure you blow it up wherever it can be at Tim Herb on Instagram or at Home Before Dark on Twitter. That's before Spoon being the number 4, which is pretty great. What is it?
I turn 35 tomorrow.
Pretty crazy, man. Still got a head full of hair. Look at that.
Like, I'm sitting here not even thinking about other people. I'm like, I really need a haircut. It's like, it's getting out of control. Woo!
Yeah, those quit. Now I'm getting the gray in the beard. That's where things have been going on my end. So,
dude. Oh yeah. Same. I mean, same here. Like, I mean, the one benefit to me growing my hair even the least bit long is that it hides some of the grays, because whenever I inevitably get the fades on the side, it brings all the grays out. And they're starting to grow by the plenty. Kendrick asking if we're having a party at an Arby's with a play place. I don't know. Do those exist? And if
do places even exist anymore? I don't know.
I don't know.
Which is crazy that was such a commonplace for us growing up, was the play place in all the fast food restaurants. Like, I can't remember the last time I saw a play place in a fast food restaurant.
Probably Chick-fil-A. I feel like the one in Tucker was the last one. I don't even know if it's still there, but the one on Hugh Howell and 29, I think, had a play place at one point. But aside from that, granted, I don't know that I've really been, I mean, as a parent now, I should start.
It's probably good that you don't know where all the play places are around town. That would be real creepy. What if I was like, no, there's a play place at this one, at this location, this one, at this location.
Right. Me now, as a parent, that's probably normal. You, you knowing where these play places are, other than Hippo Hop or Catch Air, where you may have been to a friend or a relative's kid's birthday party.
That is so funny. Just start listing them all off. Oh man!
Now we got that newly renovated Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese. You got the knockoff Chuck E. Cheese up there in Lilburn. We got the Chuck E. Cheese that just got into town. You mean Chuck E. Cheese? No, it's Chuck E. Cheese. We got that fat rat.
Oh, it's where is that from? The knockoff rats? Was that Aqua Teen Hunger Force? Was that the knockoff Chuck E. Cheese?
No, animals. Where they went for that birthday party because they were trying
exactly.
Birthday party song sung there. Yeah.
Patrick saying Kevin has a few more years where he couldn't go to McDonald's because of the play places in the court order. So I will be partying hard tomorrow and working in the office. So
I hear you.
So there's that. Yeah. Other than that, I mean, Kevin, you had a birthday last week. Was it last? I guess a week from last Friday. So
yeah.
I guess you guys would have recorded by then. But
yeah, we recorded that Monday.
You guys should have been wishing Kevin a happy birthday.
Nah.
Well,
but anyway, thank you guys for hanging out with us. Like Tim said,
shorten it up, man.
At this point. We've both had long work days, and that's why Dan isn't here, because his is still going on. So
Dan is still working. He is still on site.
Yeah. So be sure to show Tim some love tomorrow. Like I said, happy birthday, man.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys next week. If you want to hang out with us offline, we're at Twitter at Home Before Dark. That's before spelled being the number 4. I promised to get up the late episode from when Kendrick was on with Dan a few weeks ago. Try to put that together with the extra few minutes here tonight with us ending early and get that up on all the audio podcast subscriptions. And thank you guys so much, like I said. And we'll see you next time. As always, be home before dark.
See you guys.